In this episode, I'm going to bring you up to speed on the latest news involving Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, and how NBA super stud Kevin Durant is using video marketing.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery, brought to you by Wirebuds.
What's happening? All right, welcome to episode 80 of Video Marketing Mastery. The video crew here at Wirebuzz, they took these outtakes from our recent welcome series, the five-part video course that's free to the listeners of this podcast, and I teach people how to use video to guarantee that their videos get and generate ROI. Well, the team in the editing room took Todd's funny outtakes and they flipped it into a video that makes fun of me. And you're not going to want to miss it. You'll find out in that video about my muscular eyebrows and a whole lot more than you're ever going to want to know about me. But it's a hell of a video. I think you'll enjoy it. It'll be on the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/80. And so too will all the interesting news that I'm going to share with you and bring you up to speed. Oh, we had some medical marijuana company in our office today. They've been here a couple times. Really nice people. They're doing some super cool things with medical marijuana, and we're going to be creating some videos for them. And we probably had like 10 people in our conference room, and one of them was talking and telling about how they're using this medical grade marijuana for a variety of different patient conditions. And then all of a sudden, they just stopped and had like a blank look on their face, like they totally lost their train of thought. And somebody else on the other side of the table said, recognizing the awkward silence, did we mention we're in the pot business? It was super funny, right? Because pot smokers lose their train of thought all the time, but just not in my conference room that often. So that was pretty awesome. Later on this week, I'm going to be in Las Vegas. I'm working with probably about 12, maybe 13 clients. Our strategy team will be out there, and we meet one-on-one. Like every hour, a new client sits down with us. We detail out what they're trying to do. We work on the strategy and the correlating videos and how that information then needs to be connected, not only to the strategy, which for people like you and me is now a given, right? You don't create videos without a strategy. You don't practice, as Vidyard says, random acts of video creation. That's a no-no. That's how videos fail. But when you meet with clients, you start detailing out that strategy and how what video player is the right one for this tactic, and does it connect to the CRM? Does that CRM connect to their email automation program or their marketing automation or their HubSpot and all those things? And we lay that all out for clients, and we'll be doing it next week nonstop in Las Vegas. 23andMe is a longtime client of ours. Maybe you know them. They are the genetic juggernaut that helps you figure out from a spit test what your genetic makeup is, where your ancestry of origin is, and you know, even how your DNA has migrated across the earth. It also tells you things about your genetic conditions that you might have a predisposition to. And we recently, for Wirebuzz, my wife and I gave everybody for Christmas their own 23andMe test as a thank you or a Christmas gift for all the hard work that our staff had done over the last year. And we created a video as a thank you to our friends at 23andMe. That video should be going live soon. If it is live in time for this podcast, I will put it on the show notes page. But something tells me it's going to happen in a future episode. So if you don't see it on the show notes page for episode 80, don't worry. We won't forget to share it with you. It's actually a really, really good video. So let's get down to the news. Adweek had an interesting article about the 8 video and social marketing stats that got their attention this week. Look, only one of them, or maybe two of them, were interesting to me. I'm going to break them down for you. So imitation works. That's their first one. Adweek explains that Instagram has been relentlessly copying Snapchat's video features in recent months. I've already told you about that part, but let me connect the rest of the dots. And that strategy appears to have worked, says Adweek, because Instagram said it now has 200 million people using its Snapchat-like stories feature on a daily basis. That's a big-ass number, 200 million people. So that feature alone on the Facebook-owned platform Instagram is more popular than Snapchat's app, which has only 158 million daily users. Just think about the size of Instagram now. Now that you think that they rolled out the stories feature because they want to use video, they want to start incorporating it in there, now to see the work of Zuckerberg and tapping into what works on Snapchat and how you can use it in your own platforms, right? But here's the big business takeaway that I want to discuss with you. Don't be afraid of copying or borrowing a competitor's core feature. It's not stealing. If it's open and it's out there in the public domain, that's exactly what Facebook's Instagram did with Snapchat-like stories. You know, if something works, it's been approved by their audience, and you can learn from it, you can use it, and you can grow from it, by all means, provide it to your audience, right? The audience has already vetted it, demonstrated that they like it. And didn't Facebook copy adopting a video-first mindset from YouTube? Isn't Facebook Live just a reversioning of Google Plus Hangouts on Air? And Facebook Live isn't even as good as Google Plus Hangouts on Air were in 2013. I mean, that was a really good slick use, except it wasn't as popular and wasn't on the right platform. But Facebook borrowed that, borrowed stories, and has turned it into success. Think about what you can borrow to turn your business into an even bigger success. All right, well, Adweek also mentioned that YouTube TV has been widely available for a whole 8 days now, and 147,000 subscribers using smartphones and tablets have downloaded the $35 a month service so far, according to mobile data company Aptopia, right? So for the sake of comparison, consider that Dish Network Sling TV, another option for cord cutters at $20 a month, reportedly has somewhere between 1 million and 2 million monthly subscribers. YouTube TV, it's been only available for 8 days, right? They already have 15% of the largest competitor's audience, and they've been around for 8 days. This is not going to end pretty, especially for Dish Network Sling TV. YouTube TV is going to be a force to reckon with, especially with millennials. Marketing Land had an interesting article about tech platform Viral. To make it easier for advertisers to buy vertical video ad inventory at scale, video ad tech platform Viral has launched the Vertical Video Exchange. Alex Deblov, the CEO of Viral, says it this way, quote, "We're providing a greenfield source of inventory in brand-safe environments, and he's excited that now some of the world's largest companies will be able to sell vertical video ads on the top of publisher websites by using Viral." Now, I think this is interesting. First of all, you should know, I think vertical videos is a total joke. Like, I want to say something to people every time I see them taking vertical photos or vertical videos. I want to tip them off. You know, vertical footage doesn't display the full frame that's possible when you film horizontally. It's an inferior product. So, I mean, if you're going to save it, most people, when they're amateurs, they're going to take a photo or they're going to shoot video because they want to either save it or repurpose it into a slideshow, or maybe they want to show it to friends. But when you show things, But when you display things horizontally that have been filmed or captured vertically, you're seeing such a low quality resolution that it's an absolute joke. So like if I'm exclusively filming vertical videos or taking vertical images that I ever plan on repurposing that footage into a video for, let's say, a company or a website or even for YouTube, or even if you're taking videos for your kids or filming it vertically, you're shooting yourself really in the foot. You want your images to fill the full frame of a video player or the full frame from corner to corner without the black borders on the outsides of your TV, right? With that said, there's a lot of people out there that have absolutely no clue about this. And there are platforms like Snapchat that revolve around vertical video and images. And for just that aspect alone, viral is a smart business model. Now, I'm not a fan of vertical videos. You know, they show a certain low level of sophistication, but I think that there's a market for viral. And I'm glad I don't have to be the guy that's walking around preaching or teaching people the virtues of vertical video. I'm glad to leave that to somebody else. But viral does have a business future. So I'm excited to see where they take this thing. Twitter is introducing in-stream video ads that will run in content created by Twitter's partners, including TV networks, sports leagues, and news outlets. Videos become a much bigger part of Twitter's ad revenue base. Look, I've been telling you about this. This is kind of like a Hail Mary pass for Twitter because their ad revenue has come to a grinding halt. So they're looking for new ways, and video is the central element for Twitter's ad revenue base. And the new video ads will be more familiar to marketers that run commercials on television. You've heard in past episodes that what's really going on is Twitter is trying to get in and compete for television advertisers. And instead of creating a new take on ads using video, they're just taking this approach of saying, hey, if you've got a 30-second commercial that you're normally running on ABC, well, you can get in front of that same demo and larger numbers of people more consistently at lower rates if you run it on Twitter. It's just that easy, right? The new in-stream ads include both pre-roll and mid-roll ads. The ads appear in Twitter's premium content offers, which are promoted on the social site. Now, that's a really interesting article from BroadcastingCable.com, and I'm sure you remember that last week we discussed the United Airlines passenger getting dragged off the airplane down the aisle by airport security. And this week, people are calling for the United CEO to resign in the wake of this scandal. But what I haven't heard is anybody talking about how brands should insulate themselves from the inevitable. If you're interested in that topic, go back to episode 79 of this podcast, okay? Wirebuzz.com/79. We like literally break this thing down so your business knows what it should be doing to insulate its brand, how to be proactive, because the inevitable of somebody waiting in line at your restaurant or somebody checking into a hotel room, which recently happened to me, and a lady is in the shower showering that isn't my wife, somebody's going to do a video of that, maybe not of the lady showering, but of a disaster situation revolving a company, and it's going to turn into a huge PR nightmare. You're seeing it more frequently now. As a smart business person, proactively insulate your brand. Listen to episode 79. We'll teach you the tricks. YouTube live streaming is in the news this week. TechCrunch is reporting YouTube gave people the ability to live stream directly to their channel from their phones with one catch. It was only open to folks with 10,000 subscribers or more, right? It's like the 10,000 plus club, and which is probably for most of you listening, none of you. And if you've been dying to hop onto the live streaming train, but you haven't hit that 10,000 mark yet, the good news is YouTube just dropped the requirement to 1,000 subscribers as opposed to that big 10,000 number. Now, it's still not open to everyone, but that's a considerably smaller hurdle to get over. The change happened quietly sometime in the last couple of days, but got swept under the rug with April Fool's noise and the United Airlines story. A support page confirms the change, and a rep from YouTube confirmed that it should be open to everyone with 1,000 subscribers or more, not a random pool. All right? TechCrunch story on the show notes page. Well, the San Jose Mercury News wrote an article about KD, Kevin Durant's new YouTube channel shows, and how the Golden State Warriors star is taking fans behind the scenes into his life. Look, I watched this first episode, and it's filmed in KD's home, and there are a lot of opportunities for growth. Obviously, he's not a superstar in video, right? but he's got a compelling story to tell. People will watch it. And as this show develops, I'm sure they're going to get better at it. A tip that I would give KD is to look in the camera when people are talking to you, because he's got some like almost an I'm too cool for this thing. He would, in an interview on ESPN, Kevin Durant would look into the camera, he would smile and have a conversation and do a complete sentence. But in his YouTube live stream video, KD is barely looking at the camera. He hasn't bought in, right? So the first advice I would give him is buy in, look into that lens, develop a relationship. There's no reason to be nervous. You do interviews all the time. When you make eye contact, people will resonate with you. You'll get better response. And your camera person needs to cut back on the caffeine. They're way too shaky. Anyone who holds and does it with their hand, a camera or a cell phone, is going to have the same kind of a shaky problem. Your dude's just jacked up on too many Mountain Dews. And I'm suspecting that your camera guy is using a mobile phone, which is totally fine, right? If you're live streaming, it's totally acceptable, but not acceptable if you're going to edit up your footage after and create something more compelling than a live stream. Live streams are like, totally perishable content. People are going to see it once. But if you're trying to really move the needle, you're going to want to be displaying quality. Okay. One way that I solved the shaky camera phone problem, and it happens all the time, so I know people bring it up. So the way that I solved it is I went to the Apple store and I bought the DJI Osmo mobile gimbal phone for iPhones. That's what I have. I rock an iPhone. It cost me $299. Actually, it cost my wife that because she bought it for me as a birthday gift. And you can get it at the Apple store or online, and it lets you capture and share memorable moments more easily and cinematically. Look, it's when you use the DJI Go app, Osmo Mobile turns your iPhone into a really smart motion camera, making everything you shoot look smooth, professional, and ready to be shared. It automatically tracks your subject. It captures stunning motion time lapse, or it even streams a moment live around the globe. I use it all the time with my videos. Highly recommend it. I'll put a link to where you can purchase that gimbal on the show notes page. Speaking of super tall superstars, Variety, a longtime staple of established mainstream media, had an article this week about April the Giraffe, who in a few short months became a global sensation, just a media rock star. And April gave birth to a bouncing baby giraffe boy on Saturday, drawing a mammoth audience on YouTube to rank among the most viewed live events the video service has ever had. On Saturday, April 15th, the Animal Adventure Park Giraffe Cam channel scored its biggest day with 14 million live views. Now, at the peak, more than 1.2 million people watched April give birth at the same time. This happened Saturday, April 15th. And it's important for people to take this into consideration. It's not the biggest or most viewed live stream in YouTube's history. That actually is Red Bull's Stratus Space Jump by skydiver Felix Baumgartner in 2012, when more than 8 million people, including yours truly, watched it live concurrently on YouTube. Incidentally, I know you've heard me talk in past episodes about Baumgartner, Madison Baumgartner, no relation. A resourceful Redditor this week discovered that YouTube has a secret dark mode. Now, this from the Business Insider, it turns out that YouTube has a secret dark mode that you can activate and flip your entire YouTube viewing experience into a black background. Kind of cool. Now, this was discovered by one resourceful Redditor. The secret mode appears to be available solely on the latest iteration of Chrome, version 57 and above, of course. And once enabled, it seems to automatically apply to the remainder of the website, including the homepage and dedicated channel pages. Now, if you want to learn how to switch your YouTube account into dark mode, I'll post a link from this Business Insider article on how to activate and the tips that you need to follow in order to activate dark mode. You'll get it on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/80. Digital marketer Neil Patel wrote an interesting blog about how to create a video landing page that converts at 56%. Hey, off the top of my head, an easy way to remember 56 is Lawrence Taylor, but that has nothing to do with the show episode. I just have these numbers falling out of my, just out of my pockets. I got to do something with it. So he's able to convert on landing pages that have a video at 56%. Patel explains, it's not easy to watch myself on video. So why am I keeping that video up there? Simple, because it converts like crazy. My video landing page is the highest converting page I have ever had, bar none. Ever since I started using that video on my homepage, my conversions took a noticeable upturn and they haven't slowed down a bit. Now, if you want to learn the principles that Neil Patel learned to split test his videos, to tweak his homepage, and to watch conversions pour in, I'll add that onto the show notes page for episode 79. It's a really interesting article for video marketing masters. Murderer's Facebook video sparks a manhunt, and I'm sure you've seen this, but really what's going on is Facebook is going through some interesting growing pains. I want to spend a few moments in this episode talking with you about it. All right, well, an interesting story in TechCrunch about this murderer on Facebook. After 37-year-old Steve Stevens allegedly shot and killed a 74-year-old man on Sunday in Cleveland, Stevens posted video footage of the murder on Facebook with the title Easter Day Slaughter. Now, the video appears to show the gunman asking the victim, Robert Goodwin Sr., to say Stevens' girlfriend's name before shooting Goodwin in the head. Now, I'm not a fan of stories like this. Nine times out of 10, I'll read the headline, maybe you do the same thing, and I will skip right over it. But I think it's an important discussion to have for video marketers. You know, the article goes on to say the video and copies of the video have been viewed and shared widely. Facebook removed the video several hours after it was posted and has suspended Stevens' account. Facebook's VP of Global Operations, Justin Osofsky, said in a blog post on Monday, quote, a few minutes after that he went live confessing to the murder, it was a horrible crime, one that has no place on Facebook and goes against our policies and everything we stand for. As a result of this terrible series of events, we are reviewing our reporting flows to be sure people can report videos and other materials that violate our standards as easily and quickly as possible. This is exactly what you would hope a company like Facebook would say, right? And yet there's very little that Facebook could do to stop somebody, you know, from doing something like this again. Facebook did not receive a report about the first video and only received a report about the second video, which contains the shooting, more than an hour and 45 minutes after it was posted, Osofsky said. And Facebook received reports about the third video, a live stream of the shooter's confession, only after the live footage ended. Now, Facebook disabled the suspect's account 2 hours after first receiving a report about the account. Osofsky said Facebook is constantly exploring new technology, better artificial intelligence tools to make the social network a safer place. Now, but this isn't all that Facebook said about this. Today at the F8 conference, Facebook CEO Mark the Big Zuck Zuckerberg addressed this weekend's shooting in Cleveland, saying, quote, we're going to work on getting more common ground, not just getting more options out there, but also helping to bring people closer. We have a lot to do here. We have a full roadmap of products to help build groups and communities, to help build more informed society, and to keep our community safe, Zuckerberg said. But let me get you up to speed about the whereabouts of Steve Stevens, the so-called Facebook killer, or at least the Facebook killer of this week, right? Stevens killed himself Tuesday morning in Pennsylvania as cops closed in. This is what authorities said. Steven was spotted in a McDonald's parking lot in Erie County just about 11 a.m. by a member of the public who quickly contacted Pennsylvania State Police. After a two-mile chase, troopers attempted a PIT maneuver to disable Stevens' vehicle. And as the vehicle was spinning out of control from the PIT maneuver, Stevens pulled the pistol and shot himself in the head. This is according to a statement from the state police. And this story's out of Fox News. It'll be on the show notes page. And while many are screaming that Facebook needs to do something to stop people from promoting their crimes, which, you know, I naturally don't want people promoting their crimes. That would be, you know, that's an unfortunate situation that's laying out. But I look at this a little bit differently. And you do agree that people are going to commit crimes regardless if Facebook is around or not, right? I mean, people have been committing crimes since the start of time. Criminal activity, greed, rage, theft, those things are nothing new. People are not committing crimes because of Facebook. Facebook is not at fault here, or the reason they're committing crimes is not because of Facebook, right? You get that, right? If you don't, and you believe Facebook is to blame, and Facebook is the reason people are committing crimes, do you normally apply human responsibilities to inanimate objects? Like if a car hits a pedestrian, do you blame the car or the car manufacturer? Of course you don't. Unless the car was at fault, right? Like the car manufacturer was at fault or the car owner wasn't maintaining it, then maybe it could be the car's fault. But people who are going to commit crimes are going to commit crimes regardless. You know, I grew up in a time where most people who were accused of crimes would deny it, right? They deny they did it. And then they try their luck confusing the jury. And then as a reporter, I spent years vividly wasting days on the news debating out the facts of a crime with an on-air reporter who took the opposite position. It was one of these like crossfire head-to-head formats. As a juror, I spent an entire week on a case where a young man was accused of a DUI, right? Police pulled over on the side of the freeway and he was sitting in the passenger seat, slumped over to the driver's seat, right? And he had vomited across the driver's side. Sorry to give you the details, but we discussed vomiting projection for an entire week and how lucky we are right now to have people that might not be that smart that are actually recording and promoting their own criminal evidence against themselves. We finally have the missing piece of evidence, which helps us lock criminals up faster. Sure, Facebook has a lot of work to do, but how lucky we are to have evidence that we've never had before at our fingertips, right? Just a different way to look at this. And as things progress, people that are prone to do stupid things are going to get locked up at faster rates because of the access of video and technology. Look, if you see this differently, by all means, let's carry on this conversation. I'm happy to. You know, I may be wrong. I'm sure you're seeing it differently. And if you are, you can always continue on this conversation with me on social media. You can hit me up on Twitter. I'm at the Todd Hartley. You can hit me up on LinkedIn or anywhere else, maybe even the Wirebuzz Facebook page. And as the news continues to develop, I'm going to make sure that I bring it to you in a topical way that we can have a conversation around it. So on any of these stories, feel free, please know that the conversation continues when this podcast episode ends. And in this episode, I gave you an update on how Facebook is working towards handling these tragic news stories in a different way, right? And I also talked to you about Neil Patel and how video on a landing page is helping him convert at 56%. We talked about YouTube's dark mode and how you can get access to that dark mode. We also talked about two very tall superstars, Kevin Durant, and how he's using YouTube to continue on and tell a deeper story about himself and his passions, and also the giraffe cam, right? And how much fun that was for people to follow April the giraffe and the birthing story that took place and how that's one of YouTube's largest live streaming moments in the history of YouTube. We also talked about a TechCrunch story and about how YouTube gives people the ability to live stream. If you have 1,000 subscribers or more, you can now live stream on YouTube. For those of you that are doing that, hit me up. I want to know what you think. Give me your take. We also talked about the United Airlines story, which happens in episode 79. You can go back and get my take on what your business can learn from watching United Airlines shoot itself in the foot, and a bunch of other things like Viral, the ad source network for vertically shot videos, and one other thing, which is about Adweek. Adweek had some interesting stories that they thought would be valuable, like how Instagram and the adoption of stories and stealing that concept from Snapchat has allowed Instagram to now surpass the number of people that look at stories compared to Snapchat. And your business takeaway there is be very comfortable looking at the market, see what competitors are doing. And if there's a way for you to lift that up and apply that kind of principle in your own business, you just might move the needle and start generating ROI at faster and faster rates. Listen, I'm going to be in Vegas when this episode goes live. If you're out there and your business wants to talk, my strategy team is going to be on location. We are going to be super busy, but here's the secret. If you want to buy us a drink, we'll always make time for you. I mean, that's kind of the rule in life, right? A drink? Sure, we'll figure out how to make it happen. Anyway, peace out, everybody. This has been a fun episode. I hope that episode 80 has allowed you to become a better video marketer. An easy way to remember the show notes and how to get to the show notes page for episode 80 is, well, the best wide receivers in football history all wore that magic number 80 on the back of their jersey. I'm talking about Steve Largent, Chris Carter, and Jerry Rice. Wirebuzz.com/80. And if you want each and every episode sent directly to your mobile device, go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Hit the subscribe button. And while you're there, do me a solid. Leave a really honest rating and review. And we're going to do what we always do. Live up to our commitment to you to be looking at the latest news and information, giving you ways that you can take these stories in the video marketing world and how you can apply them to your business. Ultimately, at the end of the day, video is all about generating ROI, right? I want to make sure that our audience, that we pull you kicking and screaming. If you think video is just a tool for entertaining, then please rewind and start this podcast series over, because video, as you heard from Neil Patel and his 56% increase on conversions on a landing page that has a video, video is the most powerful tool for businesses. And those of you that start adopting it will see really impressive results. And all I want to do is make sure that you as a listener turn into a video marketing master.